What's up, everybody? My name is Ashton Cooper.
Yeah.
Last time I saw many of you was at the gala, the super gala that we had. The brothers were all dressed up in fresh cuts and art clothes. The sisters had, the nails done, hair done, everything did. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone was looking nice. It was an amazing time. We got to honor our graduates. We had many people go on to the Singles and Young Professionals Ministry. All right, so we're stepping to the summer and really starting another chapter of our campus ministry. You know, so many things run through my mind at the beginning of the summer. At the beginning of the summer, I'm thinking about how am I going to spend my time? What am I going to do? Places I'm going to go, fun experiences I want to have. You know, for some of us, we might be using the summer to get ahead in school. Some of us need to catch up in school this summer. All these different ways that we're spending this summer. And you know, as I sat down and thought about tonight, I thought about, wow, what does God want to see this summer? I have all my ideas about how I want to spend my summer. We might have tons of things that we're thinking about, but what does God want to see this summer? What is the heart of God? What's His will, His plan for us this summer? What does God want me to say tonight? And you know, as I went through this process, I felt like, man, could I even possibly know that? I'm not God. I don't know your hearts. Could I know what God wants this summer? And then I begin to consider God's word and how it reveals to us what He truly cares about. And I've come to some sort of conclusion. I think that God wants to see change.
Come on.
Right. I thought about my walk with God. You know, I think God wants to see change in my prayer life, my self-discipline, my heart for the lost, my faith, my purity, my courage. I thought about our campus ministry. You know, I've been a disciple for almost 6 years now. And part of this ministry for that entire time, and I've seen our campus ministry grow tremendously in unity and in so many other areas. But I've also seen us lack in numbers. I've seen this go from a time where there's 230 of us and now it's in the 160 range. I've seen far too many walk away from God. And I think that's an issue to God. I think this is something God wants to see change and turn around. You know, there's some scriptures in the Bible that talk about change. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, you guys can just write this down. God reminds us that He changed us, that the old is gone, the new is here, and we are a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, and in chapter 3, verse 18, God encourages us that He's working to change us every day. Paul writes that those things that were changing in a negative way on the outside, the inside, were being renewed day by day. And we're changing to become more like Christ. In Romans 12, God tells us to be changed as a command, that we must decide to change. And in Matthew 18, verse 3, just an example, the Bible just talks about whether you're a Christian or not, God warns us, if we don't change, then we might not make it to heaven. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Change. And I don't think God is just interested in any type of change, good or bad. I also don't think He's indifferent about how long that change lasts. I think God wants us to change for good.
All right. Right.
God wants us to change because of Him and for Him and through Him. And wants change that will last. This summer, I'm convinced that God wants you and I to be changed for good. And that's the title of my message, Change for Good.
Amen.
I want to talk about three things that need to be changed for good this summer. Things we can't wait on. Things that need our special attention because God brings attention to it. And the first thing that we need to change this summer is you. That's the first thing that needs to change this summer.
Good first point,
is you. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11.
All right. Come on, Poo.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. The Bible reads, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control, into self-control, perseverance, into perseverance, godliness, into godliness, mutual affection, into mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, Paul is writing here to encourage us to grow. He outlines ways that we can grow. He gives us a motivation to grow. And what I don't want to see at the end of this summer is us kind of, you know, going through the motions, and at the end we're able to think back to the summer and say, hey, I didn't grow. I'm ineffective and unproductive. Mm-hmm. I forgot that I was saved. Mm. I forgot that my sins were forgiven.
Mm, come on, Austin.
I'm not sure how God's going to view me on the last day. Mm. That's what we don't want, but that's going to be our reality if we do not change for good. That's what the scripture is helping us to see. It's so incredible. It outlines the changes that we should make an effort to have. That we should add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and it goes on. And this charge to make every effort to change is kind of sandwiched by these two awesome motivations. The first one is that God's power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Godliness is within reach this summer.
All right.
Through God's word, it's possible. Our knowledge of God and holding on to God's promise. Secondly, us changing will keep us effective and productive spiritually. We will never stumble, and we'll be welcomed into heaven. How can we ignore God's call for us to change for good? It's going to help us, and He's going to help us, and it's going to lead us to heaven. If we're not growing spiritually this summer, if we're not making that our top priority, then what are we doing? What are we doing if we're not making our top priority growth this summer? You know, I thought about this kind of funny meme that they have on the internet.
What are you doing,
baby? And it's hilarious, and I make little videos with the voice every once in a while. I was like, oh no, baby, what is he doing? But imagine God looking at your life and saying that. Because, I mean, he would, I don't know if it would sound like that or anything like that. But if we're not making growth our top priority, doing this summer. If we aren't growing and becoming like Jesus, then we're often doing the opposite.
Mm.
We're going backwards. Mm. Even if we feel like we're coasting, that's not acceptable.
Nope.
The only way to keep ourselves in the fight spiritually is to grow, is to move forward. It's a foot, an inch, a centimeter. We have to make progress. Mm. In verse 9 of this passage, it says, whoever does not have these things in increasing measure, if we're not growing, then we're nearsighted and blind, forgetting their past sins. If you're not growing, you're dying. Right.
Wow.
You have to decide right now what your summer is going to look like. Is it going to be filled with inspiration? Or will people see someone who's just waiting around for the expiration date?
Wow.
Decide this summer. Is this the summer you're going to start living for Jesus? Is this the summer you're going to become a disciple? Is this the summer you're going to get baptized? Is this the summer you're going to study the Bible? Is this the summer you're going to study the Bible with someone else?
Come on,
is this the summer you're going to come back to God, that you're going to read the entire Bible, that you're going to have daily quiet times?
Come on, bro.
Is this the summer that you're going to see change in your period? Make a decision now. Is this the summer you're going to find contentment and peace in God?
Come on, bro.
Then you're going to resolve that broken relationship. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to be consistently with your VP, with your mentor.
Come on.
Is this the summer you're going to grow?
Come on, bro.
You need to make a decision about that.
I
want to give you guys some practicals about how we can change for good this summer. You know, first thing is have a consistent time with God.
Right.
Be transformed by the transformer. You know, faith comes from hearing the word, so get into the word and have that time with God. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is John 15, where it talks about if we remain in the vine, connected to Jesus, that we will bear fruit. There will be results. It has to be focused as well. You know, we can't just read the Bible. We need to listen and do. We can't look in the mirror and forget what we look like. We need to be active in obedience and have that consistent time with God. Another thing is consistent time learning from others. You know, humble yourself, learn from someone else. Let someone be your coach, your mentor spiritually. You know, be open about your sin. Be vulnerable about your weaknesses. I think another thing that's gonna help us change for good this summer is a consistent acts of faith. You know, discipleship is not learned in a classroom. It's not learned by you sitting down and hearing a message. You have to go out and do it. You got to live it. You need to be on campus sharing your faith, having experiences, going for it. And if you fail, get up and learn from it.
Come on now.
And at the end, you really need to make a plan. I know sometimes we can think about all these different areas that we want to grow in, but if you can focus on one thing, one area you want to grow in, and just focus on it the entire summer, share it with someone else and stick to it and follow up throughout the summer, then we can be changed. Let's change for good this summer. It starts with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Another thing I think God wants to see change this summer for good are your relationships.
Woo. All right.
Your relationships need to be changed for good. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 3. God's desire for us as a church is to be growing and changing in our relationships with one another. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 3. You guys with me?
Yes.
All right, Ephesians 4, verse 3. We're going to read 3-6, then we're going to jump down to verse 11. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then jumping down to verse 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love this passage. It just illustrates that unity is a big deal to God. Jesus prayed for us to be one, and here Paul is making his charge that we need to make every effort to keep that unity that Jesus died for. He reminds us of things that we can be unified on. That one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father. You know, God cares about your unity so much that he gave you leaders to build you up and to help us be mature and unified. That we would have unity in our faith, that we would become mature, and ultimately that we would change for good in our relationships. We're supposed to go from infants to mature brothers and sisters who speak the truth and love to each other. Our relationships should be mature and changing. And it's clear that the unity that God calls us to have is deeper and different from the unity that people have in the world.
Yeah.
Relationships in the world are usually shallow. Yeah. Their foundations are not solid. There's shallow reasons why people get together. I was thinking about this. People are unified over ridiculous things. Over things that don't even matter. I was doing some research. Did you guys know there's something called the Lincoln Convention?
What?
This is a convention where 150 people come together and they dress up like Abraham Lincoln. And they help each other kind of make sure that when people have conventions and they need people to represent Abraham Lincoln in some sort of show, that they're ready to do that.
Wow.
They have a conference over this. This is what they're unified on. I saw another thing. It's called the Santa Celebration.
Oh, come on, I was at that.
It's no,
I'm just kidding.
Rob was there last year in Tampa. And it's hosted by this international Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas.
Alright, Nick was at that.
Thing. I'm not making this up. Maybe it was that I found it on a video, but I'm not making this up. I found it on Google, y'all. But these Santas, they come together and they train each other on how to answer questions from children.
Wow.
And they sell Santa outfits and slaves.
It's creepy.
This is a convention that's out every year. People are unified on the shallow things. You know, my experience with shallow relationships. And I remember the fourth grade when I had my first girlfriend.
Fourth grade,
I started
growing.
So my first girlfriend, our relationship was based off of SpongeBob. So I like SpongeBob. And she likes SpongeBob. So I was like, maybe we just like SpongeBob together. Yeah. interests, emotions, more on convenience, more on means than Jesus. And I think about God saying, are you serious? Are you serious? That you would build your friendship on these shallow foundations and not build it on Him? Are you serious about unity? Are you serious about being there for each other? Are you serious about getting beneath the surface?
Come on, Ashton.
Serious about the spiritual battle and the fact that we need each other. Can I tell you something you should know that maybe no one has ever told you?
Come on now.
I need you.
I need you too.
I need you. And you need you. And I know ultimately God provides everything we need, but in His infinite wisdom and knowledge and grace, He gave me you. That's what He decided to do. We need each other. That's what God gave us each other. I think for us to really change our relationships for good, we need to spend more time with each other. Don't get comfortable in not knowing a brother or sister in your ministry. But you see them on Sunday, you see them on Wednesday, you see them on Friday, and you don't know anything else about them but their name and maybe where they go to school and other things like that. Get deep with each other, but more importantly, decide to be in the lives of the brothers and sisters that you're around.
Come on.
I think about Hebrews 3 and verses 12 to 13. It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Don't just be around people, but be in each other's lives. See to it, it's your responsibility to find out how your brother and sister is doing spiritually. Yeah. It's up to you to encourage them. It is your responsibility. This is a picture of the Brooklyn Campus Ministry. Yeah. A.O. Brooklyn, it's my crew right there. And I love these guys. I love my family. And I look forward to being in the lives of the people on that screen this summer. I look forward to having a lot of fun and bringing God tons of glory. But you know, last summer was rough for us. We saw some of our close friends walk away from God and choose the world. And I know I'm not alone in experiencing this. You know, that would happen from time to time. People would make decisions to leave God, but let it not be because we didn't see to it. That we didn't check up on them. There are people from your region who are away this summer. Stick close to them. Satan thrives in isolation and idleness, and we need to stick together. You know, sometimes social media is a great way for us to stay connected. And I think it is. And I think that at least the connections that we may not have had if we didn't have things like social media, but don't let it trap you. Social media sometimes has lured us into the illusion that we have a true connection with one another.
Yeah.
You can kind of not know what's going on with that brother, but then they post like a scripture on Facebook, like, okay, all right, he's all right. All right, he's posting memes consistently, he's alive. We settle for things like this. The stakes are too high to settle for that shallow relationship. We are part of God's church, His body, the bride. The manifold wisdom of God, the church, Jesus prayed for unity, that we be one and He died for the relationships in this room. If our relationships with one another are lacking Jesus at the core, then we need to change this summer for good. Amen?
Yeah.
We need to change in our relationships. And the last thing is that our campus needs to change. Your campus needs to change this summer. God wants the world changed for good. And your campus is a part of that plan. You know, I want to read a few scriptures about God sending His word into the world to see it changed. In Matthew 24, verses 12 to 14, the Bible says, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm in the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Matthew 28 verse 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts 2, 39 to 40, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, He warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And in 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4, it says, "This is good. It pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." You know, the whole world, all nations, all people, to the ends of the earth, this generation and the next,
God wants all to hear his word. He wants all to respond to his word and to be saved. He wants this world changed for good. You know, so if God wants the whole world to hear, 7 billion people, doesn't he want the 11,000 in William Patterson?
Yes.
Doesn't he want the 20,000 in Montclair State?
Yes.
Doesn't he want the 17,000 in Brickell College, or the 20,000 in St. John's, the 10,000 in Lehman, and the 50,000 in NYU? Doesn't he want every campus in New York, New Jersey to be saved?
Yes.
You know, if 1 million of the college students in our area were baptized, which would be half of the population of all the students in New York and New Jersey, 1 million were baptized, we'd be 0.014% of the world's population being saved.
Wow.
If half of every student on your campus was a disciple of Jesus throughout New York and New Jersey, it would be 0.014% of all the people in the world who want to be saved. God wants all to be saved. He certainly wants our campuses to be saved. This city has a long way to go. Jesus died for each and every person in this city. And the crazy part to all this for me is that God wants us to help bring about that change. God wants us to be a part of that plan. There's an incredible task at hand, and he's sending us to do it. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this is a passage that really helps us see that God wants us to be involved in changing our campuses for good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. The Bible reads, "As this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." To reconcile, to come together. God brought us together with him through Christ, and now he wants us to join in that ministry. He wants us to join in that work. And he's entrusted us with this message. You know, there are many messages that we might want to get across to the college students on our campuses. You know, we might want them to change in the way that they have respect towards people of different races or backgrounds. All these different noble causes that we want to see, we might want them to change their political views. And all these different messages that we want to get across, but the most important message we have to share with the people on our campuses, the message of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the gospel. That's the way that God wants our campuses to change. Sending his message of love and grace with others so that they can be reconciled to him. You represent God. For some people, you are the first encounter with the church that they'll ever get. For some people, you're the first scripture that they're ever gonna read. And this summer, we can't take a break from getting out the message of reconciliation. You know, I got baptized in the summer 6 years ago.
Come on.
And I remember being moved by the disciples, how committed they were to being on campus. Every day, Monday through Thursday, people are on campus in Bible talks, in studies. And I know some of you make those same efforts. And I want to commend you. If you've been out on campus, sharing your faith, studying the Bible with people, that's amazing. And it can't be taken for granted. It takes amazing courage to do that. You know, the people who are sharing their faith and inviting people out to study the Bible to church, that takes courage and heart. And if you haven't made your way to campus yet, then do that.
Yeah.
Do that. And for the people who are on campus, keep faithful about the fact that God can use you to meet someone who can change. Someone who is looking for him. The Spirit will lead you there. You know, I want to give you guys some practicals about changing your campus this summer. Number one is to spend time on campus.
Yeah.
Be on campus. You can't change the campus unless you're there. Whatever you have to do, have your quiet time on campus, share your faith on campus, hang out, have D time on campus, spend as much time as you can on campus, because that's where our part of the mission is, reaching out to the campus students in New York and New Jersey. Share as you go, whether you're on campus or not, share wherever you are.
Yeah.
Make the most of every opportunity, have a lifestyle of evangelism.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't have any church cars, then reach out to your ministry leader.
Yeah.
And be prepared to reach out to people as you see them, wherever you go, especially if you can't make it. How are you going to be involved with the mission this summer?
Yeah.
Really be thinking about ways that you can share your faith. Learn the studies. Learn how to study the Bible with someone else. Learn how you can take someone from that point of, hey, I want to become a Christian, to getting them in the water.
Yeah.
And then be prepared to help them along the way through their Christian life. Learn the studies and do your best to do that. Reach out to someone who can teach you. Sit in studies, take notes, watch videos online. You can learn the studies online. LearnTheStudies.com. You go there, you can learn the studies online.
That's
you can really do that, and you can grow this summer.
That's real.
And lastly, is that's a real website. LearnTheStudies.com. That's like a thing you can look it up.
Yeah.
All right. And lastly, pray. Pray this summer. Pray for God to use you. Pray for clear opportunities. Pray specific prayers. I remember just waking up one morning and just, you know, feeling kind of shy about sharing my faith, and I was like, God, I feel hesitant about sharing my faith, but if I see someone wearing a green t-shirt, I'm going to share my faith with that person. So let that one person wearing a green t-shirt be open. And that lets a lot of paranoia. I was like, judging people, I was like, is that more of a blue? And then my whole thing, and then there was like a guy that I thought he was wearing green, but he was a cross campus, so I was like, am I supposed to run, God? Like, you know, I saw him, I don't know. But I didn't see somebody with a green t-shirt in the bathroom. And I was like, it's kind of weird to share in the bathroom. Like,
out of your comfort zone.
But I waited for him to leave the bathroom. I washed my hands. And then I shared my faith with him. And he was an atheist. He said he wasn't interested. And I should have been discouraged at that moment, but I was like, God, you used me to give someone a chance. Yeah. And I'm grateful that I stepped out on faith and I said, God, give me the opportunity and I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Have that mindset of praying, challenging yourself. Pray for all the people who are studying the Bible. Guys, we're going to have so much fun this summer changing our campus.
Yeah.
You know, I've had so many incredible stories of sharing faith and times during the summer. There's just even the stories of just like epic rejection that I now look back on and laugh. I remember sharing with someone and they were like watching a video on their phone and I said, excuse me, hi. You know, you want to invite them on a Bible talk. And they looked up, they took out their headphones like, do I know you? And I was like, no. And she's like, what do you know about living life to the full? What can you tell me about living life to the full? How old are you? And I'm like, 21. You know, all these different things. And then he's like, well, I've been all over the world and all this stuff. You can't tell me anything. I was like, you're not talking about me. You're talking about Jesus? Like, I don't know. And he walked away, like, yelling at me. And I was starting to get a little, like,
yeah, right.
You know, like, that we change for good. So God be the Lord.